I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now, Milwaukee basketball insider, Eric Name, joining us here. Eric, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. Surviving. Hopefully everyone else is doing the same.
So, well, let me ask you this first and foremost. Yesterday, you get the word breaks out that you've got Chris Paul and you've got some of the others, the bigger names, including Giannis, kind of getting together saying, we are not going to be like Major League Baseball. We're not going to quibble over money. We want to get this thing going again. My assumption is that they are trying to, one, stay away from the bad publicity, and two, trying to fast-track a season here. Do you get that sense?
I think the big thing with the NBA's approach thus far is they've been, I think, pretty careful about what leaks out, what we're hearing about, what people are thinking about, whether that's owners or players. And I think they've managed to make it very clear that everyone's in this together. You know, like one of the very few things we heard about from Adam Silver's call with players last week was that, hey, we're going to choose from a number of bad options. And making sure that gets leaked out means, hey, players, you might have to take a little bit less. Owners, you might have to take a little bit less. We're all in this together. We're all choosing from bad options. There's no perfect option out here. And, you know, I think in some of the other leagues, like you see in Major League Baseball, like the owners have tried to get out front and say, like, hey, we've already done this. We're just waiting on the players. And we haven't seen any of that, you know, head-to-head battle, that kind of back and forth. And I think that's something that the NBA has really kind of prioritized in all of this. I think back to talking to Pat Connaughton about a month ago. He said, you know, if we can manage to pull off a bubble situation or get back to play in one of these cities, you know, we may do something really important for labor negotiations for the next decade. Like, if we manage to work together on this, there might not be as much head-to-head battle, players versus owners, players association versus league. Like, all of that, like, if we manage to come together and do something special in this moment, maybe we've solidified that relationship that there is give and take between all of us. So I think that's something that the NBA is really prioritizing. And obviously, like you said, those star players having something leak out that they'd be interested in doing and having the season, like, obviously that helps them. We've heard the owners talk about it as well. So, like, I think everything is pretty well strategized at this point by the NBA. That being said, I think there's still a ways to go.
So that being said, they have opened up the facilities. So you tell me how the workouts or what you've heard, how that is going, because some guys tried to do the best they could to stay in shape. Other guys needed the facility.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, aside from the very upper echelon of NBA talent, most of these guys, you know, will enjoy being a bachelor or a young millionaire in a city. And instead of getting a house, they'll have, you know, like an apartment or a condo in a high rise. Like, they will enjoy, you know, kind of living that life during that portion of their career. So for a lot of these guys, like, they don't have a basketball court outside, or they don't have a gym in their house or anything like that. So a lot of these guys needed to get weights from the weight room or have a team send them certain things to work out on. So I think it was pretty rough during all that. So as players get back in, I think it's a pretty big adjustment to doing workouts in the facility because, you know, like, it is only one player at a time. You can't have multiple players out on the court at the same time. So it's very regimented for who can go out there. You know, the assistant coaches or trainers or whoever are there, they're rebounding in gloves. There's a very strict rule on sanitation and how all of this goes down. So, you know, they're rebounding in gloves, tossing it back to the guy or working out. Like, they have masks and gloves on and all that to try to keep the players safe. So, you know, this is the most very basic level of all of this. Like, when Giannis says, like, hey, my house, I don't have a basketball hoop, I don't have a court to play on, like, this is the very lowest basis of all this. Like, if there's 10 court, there's 10 different hoops at the practice facility, but only one player can be out there at a time. So there's not multiple guys getting shots up. There isn't two-on-two workouts. This is literally the lowest base you could have for a type of workout. But for a lot of guys, this is important to be able to get back into gyms and be able to start getting shots up and try to get themselves in game shape is a ways off for any of these guys, but just being able to get back into the rhythm of getting thousands of shots up, like that can be really important for a lot of these guys.
If the league does indeed start back up, it appears that they're not going to just jump right back into the postseason. They're going to go 3-5 games or something like that. What do you feel if they do that and then have a full postseason? What do you feel is kind of the – are we still looking at the beginning of July for the start date of the season, or do you feel that they need to get it going before that? Or what? Maybe more importantly, what would then be the drop-dead date to get this done and get it going?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to do their best to keep pushing off the drop-dead date. And I think they just realize how important that postseason money is, especially, you know, we've seen – record ratings for just about anything live that they put on TV. Like you look at the NFL draft, that did huge numbers. You're looking at this Michael Jordan documentary, it's doing huge numbers. So, you know, as far as advertising dollars go, there's still a lot of that to be had. And again, I mean, this all feels pretty crass to talk about when people are in danger, but, you know, like this is the reality of the situation. So I do think eventually we'll get to a spot where I don't know that anyone's going to be concerned about getting in any regular season games. Like I think it'll get to a spot where they'll say, hey, you 16 teams, you're in the playoffs. Sorry for anyone that was just on the edges. Too bad. We played 60 to 65 games across the league. So you had your chance. You didn't get it done. And then they'll just go with those 16 teams. And I think we'll probably get a, you know, three to four week training camp for teams. And my guess would be that, you know, those 14 teams that don't make the playoffs can have that training camp the same way. And I guess kind of simulate like spring ball in college football, if you're thinking through it, of, you know, getting some time to work together as a team, but then not have playoff games while the other 16 will have those games. I mean, as far as dates, when all this starts, it does feel like July is probably around the time where they have to get this done. But, you know, our own Sean Charania here at The Athletic reported that the league's going to try to make a decision on this in the next 2 to 4 weeks. So, I mean, that gets you to June, and that gets you to the middle of June.
I was going to say, I think most likely you probably need to have a decision in place, like you said, maybe the next 2 weeks, right? I mean, because if you're going to do a brief camp and some self-scrimmages, to get guys in shape is about a week. To do some basic drills and really kind of get you into it is about another week. And then maybe a few scrimmages, 3 weeks to get yourself started right around that first week. That July 4th would be kind of where I think Major League Baseball is shooting for. And I think the NBA is probably shooting for that area as well, right?
Yeah, I think they're shooting for it. And honestly, you know, I don't think the NBA is in a hurry to be the first league back. And that might be the case for everyone, right? Like, all these leagues may not want to be the first one back, because I think it's inevitable that whoever comes back from a sports perspective is going to go through some speed bumps. Like, that's just going to have to be how this goes, because we're going to be learning about the situation. We're going to be trying to figure out how to do things as safe as possible. And I don't know if those, you know, bumps in the road are a grave concern, but, like, it is, if you're the first ones to go through it and then you're seen as the first ones that screwed something up, all of a sudden you're the league that looks bad. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if all these leagues are kind of looking around at each other and trying to figure out, like, all right, who wants to go first? And then once you see one go, then maybe the rest of them will all go. I wouldn't be shocked if the league said, you know what, if baseball wants to start on July 4th, maybe we'll wait until about July 15th and, you know, see what baseball goes through for a couple weeks, and that can help us implement the things that we need to make sure that our people are safe. And again, maybe that's a little bit of me being a cynic on all of this, but I wouldn't be shocked. I just think there is some inherent danger to any league you know, getting back to play and being the first one to do it.
Talking with Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider, before I let you go, you tell me, do they play?
Yeah, I think they do. I think all parties involved, whether it's owners, players, coaches, GMs, I think everybody wants to crown a champion this season. And, you know, I think there's also been a push from the league to push back the start date of the next season. Just generally, they've thought about, you know, starting the league schedule in that, you know, Christmas time. Like, maybe that's when you kick off the league. There was a push for that before all of this started. And I think there's probably some thought that, hey, let's get this season in. Let's take, you know, a shortened off season and let's get started next season on Christmas. And I think everyone will kind of end up agreeing to that. And I think there's a lot of desire on all sides to make sure that they can try to salvage as much of this season as possible, salvage as many paychecks as possible, and try to move forward. But it's going to be tough, but I think ultimately they do finish the season.
Always good, man. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Eric. Talk to you later. There you go. Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider. You can find him at Eric Name over on Twitter, at Eric Name on Twitter. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.